www.republicbroadcasting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Good evening to RBN listeners. This is the Barton Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barton is my name, and we're here on day live program day, what it always is. And today is Saturday the second of December 2017. And today in the first hour we pack in as much as we can. We have a special guest, a mighty researcher, a very, very knowledgeable man indeed. Jim Lee, he is the owner and producer of Climate Viewer, and it's three or four websites within that. And he has spent the last 10 years doing incredible, I think the most in-depth research of anybody, and educating the public on geoengineering, climate change, chemtrails, and everything related to that, which is now a weaponized item. But before I make any more mistakes, we have Jim Lee. Hello.
Hey, thank you for having me, PJ.
Oh, very good. Thank you. I'm the one encroaching on your time, late Saturday night. That's one disadvantage of getting this time. I wanted this time, Marianne, for a long time. I'm calling people up late at night. But, no, you were on before here, several times before, but what would you say is the most urgent scenario? First of all, it's fair to say, give a brief history. How do you give a brief history of 100 years of weaponizing the atmosphere? But this all started 100 years ago, didn't it? The first tests.
Oh, yes, sir. You could go further back. Putting a starting point on this is kind of a tough thing. It's like a moving target. But generally speaking, the current wave of weather modification technology started in earnest in 1946 when three scientists from GE Labs, Vincent Schaefer, Irving Langmuir, and Bernard Vonnegut, invented cloud seeding. And it was less than a year later, October 13th, 47, that the U.S. military got involved and used that cloud seeding technology to try to steer a hurricane. And the hurricane changed directions from the Atlantic Ocean, went back over Georgia, and killed somebody, and did $3 billion in damage. So just from its inception in 1947, less than a year, it was already turned into a weapon. because the military's not out there, you know, steering hurricanes for fun, and they're definitely not doing it to protect us from hurricanes, even though today the Department of Homeland Security is involved in steering hurricanes. They had a meeting in 2008 where the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Hurricane Modification Workshop, they talked about steering hurricanes. So what happened, you know, what really started in 1946 never stopped. It grew massively, and in less than 30 years, it was used as a weapon of war over Vietnam. And basically, the CIA started cloud seeding over Laos in 63. By 67, Operation Popeye, also known as Operation Motorpool, Intermediary Compatriot, was going on over Vietnam. They used three planes to do weather warfare. So despite what you've heard from chemtrail conspiracy mockers, it only took three planes to do weather warfare in Vietnam for, yeah, you know, 5 years. And their slogan was make mud, not war. As a result of the weather warfare in Vietnam, Jack Anderson, a very famous reporter, he disclosed a memo from the Joint Chiefs to President Lyndon Johnson about the weather warfare operations, which led to hearings led by Senator Claiborne Pell, which led to the adoption of NMOD, the Environmental Modification Convention, which was signed and ratified in 1978. It also led to the Weather Modification Reporting Act of 1972, which required everybody in the United States to report weather modification activities to NOAA and the Department of State and Commerce. It also prompted the Weather Modification Policy Act of 1976, which said, hey, we need to come up with a national policy on this sort of thing, and we expect a full report on everything going on today. And that report was published in 1978, and it was called Weather Modification Programs, Policy, Problems, and Potential. And it was a 784-page volume, which was a full disclosure of all federal activities in weather modification and funding. Now, all of this happened. Excuse me?
Just staying on that point, the screaming question that anyone would ask at this stage, and that's fantastic information, how come the mainstream media have totally, for 20 years under this carry-on of global warming and carbon footprints, have absolutely, by edict almost, not touched this subject with a barge pole?
Well, because they're basically towing the technocratic agenda, and that's why they don't steer near that, because technocracy would have a one-world government wherein climate change is the mechanism for total control. Similar to 9/11, if you believe Al-Qaeda is going to fly a plane into every house in America, then you'll give up your civil liberties easily. Similarly, with global warming and CO2 in particular, if you are willing to believe that everybody on the planet is going to die because we're going to get slowly cooked in a boiler pot, then you'll be willing to give up just about anything, including your national sovereignty, your constitution, or whatever. And I don't prescribe to that, that bullshit. The truth of the matter is that people who care about climate change should care about the Pacific Garbage Patch. It's a floating island of plastic that covers a size. It's a small state. It's bigger than Rhode Island. It's a third the size of Texas.
It's getting publicity all over the world. It's massive publicity in the Daily Mail, and it's getting really busy here now.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking about it for years on climateviewer.org. I have a map of it in the pollution section under environmental disasters. You can see it. And this is a serious problem, because for me personally, looking at climate change, what I see as one of the greatest threats to humankind right now is the destruction of clean, drinkable water. Secondarily, free, clean, breathable air. So right now, water is under threat. We have an ocean coated in plastic. The hydrological cycle has been pretty badly damaged. Water's not evaporating naturally because Monsanto killed all the natural cloud seeds with their pesticides. So Pseudomonas syringae, natural cloud seeding bacteria, not very plentiful anymore. Coniferous plants, trees cloud seed, not very plentiful anymore. So basically, the natural sources of rainfall, the ocean, the sun, and seeds from natural sources, bacteria, trees, that's all gone, mostly. And
stay on the point. That alone is a shocking situation. That deserves a 10-page explanation. No, you're doing it very, very well.
But there's well better than a 10-page explanation. You can go to the U.S. government's Water 2025 site and see that the U.S. government and the military project physical altercations, gunshots, over water by 2025. So this is not even a what if. This is a serious serious concern. David Kaczynski, retired colonel from the U.S. Air Force, said, "Water will be to this century what oil was to the last century." And the reason why is because we have really screwed up our water cycle, and it's been artificially inseminated since 1946. So we can only keep this up so long. And we're in a situation where jet aircraft produce clouds every day, cirrus clouds. They put massive amounts of water vapor into the sky. Why? Well, they're not naturally present as often. You know, there's not as much water vapor being produced naturally as there was in the past, and the clouds in the past probably were much larger. In fact, Jasper Kirkby from CERN just found that out in their cloud project, that all the climate models on the planet were wrong, that they didn't properly account for cloud seeds from trees. And they said, well, pre-industrial times were actually much cloudier than we thought. So, whoops, we need to adjust all the climate models. Apparently, the Earth isn't heating up as fast as we thought. We've got extra time, people. The problem is, 10 years from now, they'll find 100 more things that they did not account for in their climate models, which are wrong. So should we wait 20 years based on estimates and agendas set forth by scientists and technocrats based on computer models, which are erroneous, or do we clean up now? And I'm a firm believer in the clean up now camp. That if we deal with plastic in the ocean, benzene in the water, mercury and aluminum nanoparticles in the air, that there won't be a climate change to worry about 100 years from now heating up the whole planet. That's my firm mantra.
Yeah, I think. Could you give some time to that thing, what you made there? Cloud seeding from trees. Can you give a few explanations on that, what that is? Most people haven't a clue that that's what that is.
Certainly. So for those who don't know me, I'm Jim Lee, and I speak for the trees. Big fan of the Lorax. And trees are pretty amazing things. Like trees can create cloud seeds. And what I'm talking about specifically, that Jasper Kirkby, a guy from CERN, he did an experiment. Now, I come to this from two perspectives. I had been studying cloud seeding for 4 years, and then I started studying the chemtrail phenomena to try to figure out how it works. And while most people call that geoengineering, and it is geoengineering, operationally speaking, geoengineering is cloud seeding. So this is all a semantic mumbo-jumbo. What's really going on? Geoengineering is a way to circumvent international laws by calling it something new, but it's something old. Cloud seeding and geoengineering are identical because they both are chemical trails put into the sky to do X, Y, or Z. And for cloud seeding, this is exhaust particles, which are soot filled with metal nanoparticles covered in sulfuric acid. That's how you make clouds out of the back of a jet aircraft. So they say to themselves, well,
on that point there, it's fair to say that aviation fuel was modified to be the actual toxic fuel that does this, that carries all these chemicals. Is that fair?
It carries the chemicals. Whether it was modified or not, we'll get to that in a minute. It is being modified now. When it started being modified and for what purposes, I don't like to speculate on, because putting that yardstick down next week, I'll move that yardstick and say, no, I just read this, and now I think that they really started controlling this at this point. But regardless, for 60 years, they thought that they were cooling the planet and making rain. And in 2001, flights were grounded. They found out they were screwing with the daily temperature range. And then in 2009, Lee et al., 2008, volcano over UK grounds all flight. E3 AWACS covers a third of the UK with a cirrus cloud. They say it's 5,000 times the radiative forcing of all the CO2 from aviation ever. And the airline industry collectively freaks out because they're going to be paying carbon taxes through the nose. So, yeah, they're in deep doo-doo because their clouds are trapping heat and melting the poles. I said this at an EPA hearing in 2015. Like a boss. 2 years later, Jasper Kirkby comes along and says, hey, turns out we don't need sulfuric acid to make clouds. The assumption by climate scientists was that because of the Industrial Revolution, that sulfuric acid played an integral role in making clouds, that soot from smokestacks mixed with sulfur, sulfur dioxide, sulfuric acid, this was a way of making clouds. Therefore, it was cloudier today than it was in pre-industrial times. So yada yada, this affects this, and planet's going to heat up. So then Jasper Kirkby comes along and is like, wait a minute, let's really get to the bottom of this. What makes a cloud? Now, when I went to the EPA in 2015, I said the exact same thing. I don't think you guys understand what really makes a cloud. It's pretty simple. You need a little speck of dirt, some static, and some water to stick to it. The static is what makes the water stick to it. They seem to think that sulfuric acid was a necessity, these climate scientists. I don't know why. I think they're stupid. I knew this when I was a kid. I don't know why. Let's not go there. Regardless, speck of dust, aerosol, or cloud seed, or cloud condensation nuclei, as the weather mod guys like to call it, a CCN, you need a speck of something, you need some kind of attractive force, and you need water to stick to that thing. That's a raindrop. If it gets big enough, it falls out the sky. Pretty simple pimple. All right. So, where was I?
To ask you a question, I said to Alana Freeland when she was on the program about 9 months ago, and I know she's exactly in your area and you're parallel to each other, but remember about 20 years ago, when I was around 25 years ago, on the hot weather in Ireland or in Britain, if you drove a car, Volkswagen Beetle was there, which had a slope on it, you'd pick, for an hour or two on a hot day, you'd pick up thousands of little black bugs on the front of the car. To a certain extent, they used to produce bonnet bibs for beetles on the cars that are very sloping front. You never see that. That is gone completely. That has not happened in years and years here. So something has been removed from the ecosystem where those bugs are not around at all now.
Well, I'm in South Carolina. Our bugs are plentiful.
They're gone. It does not exist. So something has been, it's probably the spraying of glyphosate on crops that's done it. But it just does not happen on cars now, hardly at all. It's like 99% gone. So most people don't realize it. I raise your people and say, oh, yeah, that's
that may be an issue. I mean, I personally haven't noticed that. I mean, I have noticed that nobody's putting bras on their vehicles, so maybe there is something to that. They've gone out of style, like fanny packs.
First department then. But, you know, any time you drive, city or country, haven't seen it now for 30 years or so, the car will be, in very hot weather, you would have the car covered almost black after a day's driving, say, a few hundred miles.
I remember where we were, cloud seeding on CERN. So basically, to tie a nutshell, Jasper Kirkby said, you know, hey, we really don't understand, you know, how clouds are made. And it was a quote I gave at the EPA hearing, 2013 paper, cloud aerosol interaction is the greatest unknown in climate science. It's not accounted for in IPCC computer models. They don't know jack about it. In fact, every time I meet a PhD guy, I go, hey, you know what? I used to make video games. I taught myself 3D Studio Max. Very proud of that. And I understand how computer models work a little bit, done a little bit of math. And you guys don't have enough information to make the kind of predictions you're making. You're full of shit. And I can make them dance. It is so easy to make them dance. And you go, well, you know, you don't account for this. You don't account for that.
I'd love to see their faces when you put them on that. And they disappear when you talk to them, I dare say. Okay, we're coming up to the first break, and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes, okay?
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Bit of a mix-up there. But no, Jim, we're just we're not talking calls today because you're only on for an hour. But somebody has called in to say to Ken, a caller mentioned that cosmic rays and the strength of the magnetic field is also having a large effect in cloud formation. Is he correct in that?
Certainly. So that's the other big missing chunk of climate data. If you want to look this stuff up online, I suggest you look into the Electric Universe. Is the collective term for this. But basically, the Earth is not a closed system. It is powered by the sun. And because of entropy, none of their closed system, closed box, you know, stuff works. We won't get deep into that. But the GCR idea is pretty simple. The sun goes through cycles. It has solar minimums, solar maximums. During solar maximums, our ionosphere is stronger, and our ionosphere, magnetosphere, Van Allen belts collectively are a force field. They protect our planet from, you know, the harmful rays of space and solar wind that would just basically bake you to death. And during solar minimums, it weakens. So this is usually a 10 to 13 year period. And right now we are at the bottom of a solar minimum.
That's what I was going to ask. Tell us exactly where we are in 2018, because we're nearly coming into 20. Where are we in the solar cycles now? And how does it affect temperatures? Especially if we're in Europe here, like the Gulf Stream is getting weaker. I'll come on to that in a minute. Where are we in that cycle now regarding weather?
So 2025 that is the little magic number that keeps getting thrown around. It should be the next solar maximum. But from what I understand, it's actually we're going to be going into a grand solar minimum, which is something of a larger scale over a longer time period. The last one of these we had was called the Menander minimum, and it was also known as the Little Ice Age.
I can't
do it off the top of my head. It's been a while since I've read it, and it's not something I normally talk about. But the general idea is that during that time, the sun was putting out less energy than normal, and we had an ice age. Similarly, the projections look like the sun is going to sleep currently. So since it's going to sleep and it should continue on this process, people are predicting, a good friend of mine, David Debine, Adapt 2030. I've actually done interviews with him. We just, we talk on Skype. That's what he's talking about. That's where the predictions are, is that during 2025, we should be in a grand solar minimum, the likes of which hasn't been seen in quite some time, which should lead to, during these periods, increased galactic cosmic rays coming in. And those cosmic rays interact with the aerosols and the water and produce more clouds. So that's the magic static part of this, the electrostatic angle of this, is that energy is gathered from multiple different sources, one of which being friction. Everybody's seen that, dust particles, rubbing against each other inside a tornado. Seen volcanic lightning, things like that, where you see dust coming out of a volcano, make a lightning bolt. Pretty cool. So GCR, galactic cosmic rays, was one of the things that Jasper Kirkby used during his CERN cloud project. He recreated a pristine environment that only had water vapor, galactic cosmic rays, and aerosols from a coniferous plant, meaning like a pine cone, like a pine leaf, like a pine tree. So like a tree, aerosols that came from a tree plus water vapor plus galactic cosmic ray, and he made a cloud in a chamber. And that defied all of the logic prior to that moment by all climate scientists, and now they had a aha moment. Wait a minute, trees make cloud seeds, and there were more trees in the past than there are today. Hell, the trees were bigger. Means it was probably, if not as cloudy as it is today, it was probably more cloudy in the past than today.
Fair to say, we should be planting billions and billions of trees per year.
Please plant trees. Trees clean the air.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll go to this end, bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes, okay?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Back in again. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. P.J. Barden is my name. And we have a very, very special, intelligent man today, Jim Lee, explaining an incredible subject to us that people know bits about, but one hour's very, very little with this gentleman. But one question to ask you, Jim. By the way, that last caller was very happy with your answer. He emailed in again. Which is best for us humans, to be in a solar minimum? I have a two-part question. And we come to the second part after answers. Which is the best for us, to be in a solar minimum or a solar maximum?
I don't think there is a best. They affect people differently. A bottom line is the sun affects your mood, and the solar minimums and maximums do probably affect your mood.
Taking it as us and the environment, our living conditions, I should have said that. In terms of the environment we live in, and now, let's say now, N-O-W now, with all this pollution on the earth, as regards to, I think it's 2025, all the indications are from other scientists that the solar minimum is going to create an ice age, a mini ice age in Europe, and that has always been cyclical. Isn't that correct?
So that is correct. There are grand cycles to this thing, and it's a yin yang kind of thing, you know, yin yang. You can't have a balance without the two extremes. So I mean, that's the problem with these scientists is that they seek to control that and interrupt these grand processes without fully understanding them. And that's why I oppose what they do, generally speaking. I understand they're not going to stop, and I try to be a pragmatist about it and find solutions that are realistic. But generally speaking, I oppose what they do because God is way smarter than them. You know, he set up the whole universe. So until you are God, and you are not, and nobody else is either, then you don't fully understand the ramifications of the butterfly effects of what you do. So you are to be watched very carefully and understood to be dangerous, because you are putting us all at risk. So that's why I'm going to interrogate them at the Weather Modification Conference in Austin, Texas this year. I'm actually doing a GoFundMe because I'm intending to go there and film it. You know, my interactions with the geoengineers and weather modification guys at the 21st conference on planned and inadvertent weather modification at the 98th annual American Meteorological Society's conference at the Austin Convention Center.
By the way, do in mind, you're right beside RBN. I'm in the UK. I'm the only one outside of the States and Canada. But John Stafmiller's RBN, which we're broadcasting on right now, is 20 miles north of Austin, and I put it down for him that he's here to go and see him during that trip. We'll organize that, but it's vital that be done. So you're 20 miles away from John Stafmiller when you're there, and you may, I think I can say this on behalf of you, I'm sure he'd welcome you to come up and stay in his house, save you some of the costs there. But we'll talk about that off air. But I've a thing to say about it. Stay on. We'll come back to that conference. I'm not cutting him off. We'll come back to that conference. Very important. I have a thing I attack people on. I say, when you hear doctors, teachers, police officers, and politicians using marketing language, get out fast. Get out really fast. Because now it is appalling what these scientists, the lies they tell. They've signed disclosure agreements to tell lies, basically.
Okay.
Is that correct? But they're using marketing. It's a terrible flaw in their entire spiel. But to go back to this conference in Austin, that what has been happening at those in the preceding conferences down the years? It is the main environmental conference in the States. Is that fair to say?
Well, they're constantly doing different conferences. Like they had the Solar Radiation Management 2015 conference. It was in the United Kingdom, you know, in 2015, and it preceded the COP21 conference. They have, you know, they're constantly doing conferences. They just did one at a ski resort. It was $2,000 a ticket, and they used the Oxford rules and all the, you know, all this fancy schmancy stuff. But regardless, you know, they're constantly having conferences. This one, however, is a big one because A, it's funded by a defense contractor, Lockheed Martin. B, it's at the American Meteorological Society's conference, which means it's, you know, government related. You know, they're always wanting to get government funding. They beg all every so often. C, they just had a hearing in Congress on November 8th where the Democrats tried to get geoengineering funding again. David Keith is planning on doing a geoengineering test next year in Tucson, Arizona, using a balloon and something called the Stratocruiser. You can read all about it on climateviewer.com. So all of this stuff is like exponentially speeding up. And nobody's really taken into account that, you know, this stuff's been going on for 100 years, let alone what's going on with the jet aircraft. So since nobody wants to be pragmatic about it or honest, you know, I created a website, weathermodificationhistory.com, weathermodificationhistory.com, which is gives you the history from 1800 to present. And it gives you all the references you need to prove to anybody beyond a shadow of a doubt, hey, we know what the hell we're talking about, and it's about time that we get some transparency. So I'm actually pushing for a solution, which I call The Environmental Modification Accountability Act of 2018, which is an add-on to the weather warfare ban of 1978, which basically says, if you go to modify the weather from this day forward, you must tell us what your intention is, and you must tell us this 48 hours before you do it. If you do not tell us what your intention is, and you modify the weather, we will assume your intentions are hostile, and you just violated NMOD. If you don't tell us, excuse me.
Yeah, okay. Okay, it's important to just ask you a question on that. The weather modification ban is supposedly to give the public the truth, but I presume it's doing the reverse. Is that right?
The weather warfare ban is very specific in its literature, but basically it says that you cannot do hostile environmental modification. So first of all, it has to be hostile. And then it puts two or three marks.
What's your opinion of that across the world? That is a total pack of lies, isn't that right? It's a weapon they're using all the
time. Exactly. And they could, this is one of those oops, I did it again kind of things. Well, my intention was to make rain in Europe. The fact that none fell on Iran and President Ahmadinejad went on, you know, international TV saying that the EU is stealing their rain. Is that hostile? Or because I said I'm just making rain for Europe, my intentions are good. Sure, downwind's going to suck for Iran. It's going to hit 156 degrees. Screw them. That's the reality of weather warfare today. That just like with the chemtrail conspiracy, which rides on a single word, intent, so does weather warfare. So does the fate of humanity rides on a single word, hostile. In the only legal mechanism we have to protect us from this, NMOD, which is the weather warfare ban of 1978, or the Convention for the Prohibition of the Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. And this law has been on the books because of what the U.S. Air Force and CIA did in Vietnam. And, you know, it's been in effect since I was 2 years old. But there is no way to catch somebody in the act. So my solution, the NMOD Accountability Act, says give me 48-hour notice. If anybody worldwide is going to modify the weather so that we can tell the public, it'll be on a website, people can know in advance. And then the second part is for the government to create a sensor network to catch people in the act, and we the people to do the same. So I've been creating something called a climate viewer, which is a sensor you can put in your backyard. It sees the sky over your house. It sniffs for it collects rain, obviously, does rain samples. It gets, obviously, wind direction. But yeah, all of this would be displayed in real time on my map, climateviewer.org, which is Climate Viewer 3D. It's a 3D globe, and you can already see NASA satellite, real-time NEXRAD radar, wind direction.
Is it software on a computer, or is this a piece of equipment?
The Climate Viewer itself will be a sensor that you put in your backyard or on top of your house. It is a piece of hardware, probably shaped like a UFO with a dome on top and a camera pointing straight up. So,
can you get a company and have a share in the results? Is that what you're working on?
My ultimate goal is to build this unit myself and sell them, hopefully, so that, you know, I can sustain what I want to do for the next 30 years. But regardless, if I don't build it, somebody needs to. It's an idea that it's an idea that's time has come, and that's why I'm doing what
I interrupt you on that. But so because I interrupt you, give us the name of that piece, the projected name of that piece of equipment again.
It's called the Climate Viewer. That's why my website is Climate Viewer News at climateviewer.com. My map that this sensor will connect to is called Climate Viewer 3D. It's at climateviewer.org. And my sensor is called a climate viewer because it views your local climate and then it displays it in real time on the internet so that anybody in the world can see your climate too.
Very good. Very good. My. That's good. You've got off air, I'll tell you, contacting Vince Vanelli, who's put together the best solar generation system, which is, I'll tell you about that as such. But two questions come out of that. The UK here, since 2006, we began these extremes of weather in the winter, where these fronts of rain move across and stop, full stop, for a whole day over an area and flood the hell out of it. It happened here in Wales and Hereford in 2006, shocking flooding, and then Cumbria has got hit on a regular basis. Do you think that's anything to do with weather modification?
I'd bet my left testicle on it.
It's a new phenomenon of weather here.
Certainly. Like, this, the little understood part of this that's the missing link is that Harry Wexler was a brilliant guy who in 1962 said that rockets were punching holes in the ionosphere, and that if we continue to do this, that we could control weather on a worldwide basis. In fact, we could change jet streams, directions, and all these things. And he said this in 1961, and then he was going to go give a presentation on this idea that, hey, maybe we should knock it the hell off. Mysteriously had a heart attack and died.
Is that what they call ionizing the atmosphere?
Right. So since the early 50s, humanity have been using something called sounding rockets. And sounding rockets are rockets that spray chemicals into space to modify space weather. Or what we do on the ground is cloud seeding with chemicals to produce rainfall. In space, we use chemicals to produce ion clouds that precipitate electrons and protons. It's the exact same process. It's just done, a couple hundred miles up, 300 kilometers, 500 kilometers, that range. So we'd say, generally speaking, their sweet spot is from 100 kilometers to about 300 kilometers is where they like to do their damage. So they fire sounding rockets up into space. It spits out a big cloud of chemicals, chemtrail. Chemtrails in space is what I call them, because that's exactly what they are. Chemtrails of barium, aluminum, specifically trimethyl aluminum, TMA, sulfur hexafluoride, barium, strontium, and a couple other metals, titanium, anything with an eum in the end of it. And the reason why is because when you shoot these rockets into space, the chemicals stick to the Van Allen belts and make them visible.
Well, that's what came out. I mentioned this before. I won't go into it today. That's what was sprayed over Vincent Finelli's farm in Missouri, the elements of that, and Mike Adams has got hold of some of it, not from that source, and tested and said that was what had been hit, and it nearly killed Vincent Finelli. He got very, very ill after that, or over a period of time. He's recovering right now.
The problem is that there's a straw man. And the straw man is that the entire chemtrail community, and I know them all, they've all talked to me on the phone, they stick to their guns on that aluminum and barium comes from Delta Airlines. So when you go to a policymaker or somebody and you say, look, man, chemtrails is, killing us. The problem is they don't know anything about sounding rockets. And if they did, they'd go, wait. It is coming from above. It's just coming from way above. They've been shooting, aluminum and barium into space for, 75 years. So it's all coming down. What goes up must come down, right? And if people just knew that, then they could be effective because it's all documented. I'm making a map of all these sounding rocket launches as we speak. So the problem is aluminum barium does come out of jet aircraft, just not as much. So it's like everybody is kind of right. You're just off by a little bit. And if everybody could understand the big picture, how things fit together, then we could collectively seal the deal. The problem is there's just a lot of confusion.
Okay. I am an avid watcher of good quality documentaries, including the series Horizon, which has been running for 30, 40 years on the BBC, and they cover science pretty comprehensively. But I have not, unless I've missed it, seen a documentary on this. So there is seem to be like almost what they call a D notice out, meaning where the MOD tell the BBC not to cover something. But this conference, go back to that, you're going to in January, by virtue of Lockheed Martin are the sponsors. They therefore will control the agenda. Who are the actual people organizing it? You're going there to make a documentary, which is very good, to question people, be it in or outside the conference. Will you be allowed to speak at that conference?
I could have actually signed up to speak, and you know what? 2 years from now, they'll have another one of these, and in fact, I intend to do that. I will. I promise you that I will make my best effort to probably speak at that thing, and they will say yeah, because what I got to say, they listen. The truth of the matter is, I've already got my ticket to the event. So I can attend all 3 days of presentations for the Weather Modification Conference. I'm not allowed to record inside the presentation room because the AMS will be recording that themselves and putting it up on the web after the event's over with. So you guys are going to hear me ask questions at the end of these things, more than likely. They're like, any questions? They'll be like, yes, I'm Jim Lee from ClimateViewer, and here's my question. You're going to hear all that. And then the AMS has already said that I can interview any of the scientists that agree to it and take any footage I like. In fact, they encourage me to. And I told them up front what I was doing and why. So please support me. Link at the top of climateviewer.com. It's gofundme.com/weathercontrolconference2018.
Okay, hold on. We're having a break now, but we'll be back for the finish up of this hour in about 3 minutes, okay?
Roger, roger.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Thank you.
welcome back in again for the last part of this first hour. And we're talking to Jim Lee of Climate Viewer and all his related websites. And we're only getting warmed up here, but you got to go at the top of the hour, Jim, have you?
Yes, sir. Very okay, busy okay. schedule between now and the conference.
Okay, that's fine. Hopefully you can come on, because 2 hours is nothing on this subject. Three, you can have the whole three. We'll plan a program for a longer period. But how would you sum up your site? Just call out your sites again and the brief description of what's going on those sites that people can go to.
Yeah, so for those interested in my solution, the NMOD Accountability Act of 2018, go to climateviewer.com/ENMOD. It's in like environmental mod, ENMOD. So climateviewer.com/NMOD. And that will tell you about my solution, the trip I'm taking, a link to the GoFundMe. There's also a link at the top of climateviewer.com. Big advertisement says, help Jim Lee, the Climate Viewer guy, go to the WeatherMod conference. And the link for that is climateviewer.com/WXMod. 2018. WXMOD is military jargon for weather warfare. WX means weather, MOD means modification, and if you see WXMOD, it's a military acronym, so that, by definition, is weather warfare. So, climateviewer.com/WXMOD2018. And then climateviewer.org is my map, and weathermodificationhistory.com is all of my research on the history of weather control from 1800 to present. I work with my compatriot from Canada, Dominic Marama, who has faithfully restored over 500 newspaper articles using Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator. It's gorgeous. And we go through and, you know, find the history of weather control and make sense out of it. So he's finding articles that every time I read one, some of these really redefine what I know about the entire history of weather control, because it's kind of like a deal breaker. Oh my God, if that happened, then this means that, oh wow.
Are these scientific articles, or are these the opinions of journalists?
These are everything in between. I mean, most of these are, you know, journalists and, you know, New York Times, things like Jack Anderson, New York Times, Seymour Hersh, New York Times, CIA, rainmaking over Laos, weather warfare, cloud seeding used as a weapon of war. These are the titles of major articles of breaking news around the world throughout history that, you know, have just been a forgotten thing, and to bring them back up and see, you know, some of the things. It's like there's a reference in there, some aspects of chemical geophysical warfare was a paper written by DARPA or ARPA, and it's in the newspaper there. Some aspects of chemical geophysical warfare. That sounds like chemtrails to me, people. Know your history, okay, or you're doomed to repeat it.
One last question on this. How do you find Google? Are they filtering against you with algorithms, or are they trying to help you or hinder you?
They cannot defeat me. I am the Google hack master.
Very good. I want to talk to you about that. Very, very good. Okay, we've come to the end of the first hour, but no, it's been a blast. Again, an hour is nothing with you, Jim, really. We plan on another program as soon as we can, hopefully before Christmas, for 2 hours of this, and we'll take calls in the third hour. Is that okay? If we can possibly do that, it'd be great. Because it's such a vast and red-hot subject. It really is.
Well, I'm doing this because nobody else is really telling the truth. So if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And we're going to do it up in Austin. Please help me get there, support my trip, and support my solution, the NMOD Accountability Act of 2018. Okay. We're going to make it a law.
Okay, thanks a lot. Well, thank you for coming on. We've come together this hour, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, PJ. Appreciate it, man.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28. Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.